And so we lapsed large, I lapsed 10% of my budget last year, you know. You don't have to go out and spend everything they give you to get the job done.
Well, that's a late question, Steve, maybe you can pinpoint the legal question a little more. The Ferry matter, the Columbia matter, or?
Seems to me there was money appropriated for, I think it was more on a negative. I think it was legislative intent not to spend money for a fast food service or something like that for a year, and then there was. But I think that area of impounded funds is going to have to be tested in the courts, because I don't think that the executive can, after he has failed to exercise his line item veto, or in an appropriations bill, if he's vetoed it and the legislature's overridden the veto, I don't believe he can then refuse to spend the money. Now, in the case of departments within the executive branch, maybe there's a technical case there, but you know, probably nobody cares very much. If you don't spend all your money, that's fine. But if there's a specific project out in you know, somebody's district, and that project is funded through the Budget Act and the bill signed by the governor, and the guy who represents that district calls up the Division of Public Works or somebody and says, hey, where's my money for my road or my bridge or whatever it is, and the commissioner says, you're not going to get it, then that's something else. That's something, and that has happened, and I think it will have to be tested out in court. It should have been long before now.
I kind of feel as though you can guess what the court view would be if it were tested then.
Well, judging from what they said about Mr. Nixon's impoundments, I would say that they'll rule with it.
How does this Budget and Audit Committee work in practice? It's sort of a recent development, at least in the last, what, 5 or 6 years, becoming more and more, if I may, aggressive or active in the role it's assuming?
Well, I think that its role in reviewing revised programs during the year is largely a rubber stamp operation, and unfortunately it takes up most of the day during the meeting, and these things come in and somebody moves to pass them in a, you know, a huge rubber stamp with a flap, which you spend all day long. Recently we started passing the programs out ahead of time, and then somebody says, well, I move that we approve all these programs, and then if anybody's got an objection to a specific one, that's fine. And then you get into the audits, and that's really where the main usefulness of the Budget and Audit Committee comes in my estimation. And I think that it has been effective in the past in uncovering abuses. And it will continue to be, and it's going to get a lot better than it has been. And I think a lot of bugs had to work themselves out.
I think that is the proper area for Budget Audit to be. Area to be in is in really examining the audits.
And that's right.
A lot of those program changes is, you know, it's just a big myth to think you can change it.
Now, is there a lawsuit pending on the power of the Budget Audit Committee to?
I believe if there isn't one, there soon will be. And it evolves around the question of can a committee of the legislature act as the legislature? And I think it's quite clear the answer is no.
Well, I don't think that we're going to, I don't remember having authorized, I think I've been to all the meetings except one in the last year, and I don't think we authorized funds to bring the case up. I don't think anybody cares whether those RPs go through the committee or not, because it's time consuming and nothing ever really happens. You turn one down, it comes jumping out the next month, and if it's not okay then it comes out the next month, and, you know, and the sooner or later it's approved, and that's it. It's largely federal funds anyway.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question I put to Mr. McCutcheon this morning on the legislative panel. I'm interested again to hear the delegate, and I guess he wants to answer. governors claim that they need a lot of flexibility in handling appropriations. And legislators feel, at a minimum, that when they have in the budget placed emphasis on one part of the agency's work, or wanted to take a new direction, that preference should be honored. But governors of both parties have felt that they could transfer appropriations pretty much at will. In fact, some people feel they think the governor is claiming the power to reappropriate after he gets the budget. Did this come up in discussions of, in the groups that were looking at finance and taxation? Did you see this as a problem? Which has gotten very bitter in the last, or somewhat in the last couple of years.
I don't recall any discussions on the transfer of funds by the executive after appropriation by the legislature. I think if it has turned out to be a major problem that can't be settled easily in court, then perhaps it's an area that we should have.
Well, that's well taken. They avoid the final legal confrontation. But literally millions of dollars are carted around by governors.
I understand that there's a companion growing problem in government having to do with revenue sharing by the federal government on an ever-increasing scale, and as the money leaves Alaska and returns to Alaska, there's the conduit through the federal government. And in many cases, it becomes a question of who has the right to appropriate these federal funds. The definition of the use of general, does the legislature have the right to grab those funds and appropriate them, or does the administrative branch, the executive branch, have that right? I understand that perhaps that's an area that the Constitution.
Was there a sense of the delegates that the legislature would be able to decide what happened to federal aid as well as its own money?
I really think that we didn't address ourselves again specifically to this area because we should have, had we been able to anticipate the nature. We were looking then more at Pittman Robinson and, you know, that kind of fund. It's very clear what happens to that when it reaches the state. I don't think we were looking at that, at least I think it is, I never have to the ministry. But I don't think that we were anticipating the volume of federal revenue sharing that we have today. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
If the general trend of the Constitution is not to permit deficit spending, by what section was it used in order to tax the reserves, especially in light of last week's announcement that they may be extended another year?
I guess I don't know which announcement last week.
Well, I thought last week I heard that this revenue or this taxation on the reserves may have to be extended another year, and what that means.
No, I made a comment along that line, but I only said that if the pipeline's delayed a year, we may introduce a bill to extend it.
Well, how does that fit in with deficit spending on the top?
There's, by definition, there isn't any definite deficit. Deficit spending is where your current income meets your plus your unappropriated balance don't equal, and by definition we don't have any. In fact, current revenues this year are somewhere around $780 million versus a $700 million budget. Yes, we are accumulating a $200 million credit, but the test is going out 2 years hence and see if there's a surplus, and yes, there is a surplus. No likelihood.
It's interesting that, you know, the language, as you point out, requires the governor to submit his budget, setting forth all proposed expenditures and anticipated income of all departments, officers, and agencies of the state, and so on, with an appropriation bill. It must have been the farthest thing from the delegates' minds that, indeed, in 1 year, there'd be almost $1 billion in the state treasury to be spent over a period of years later. Considering the territorial budget that you were, you know, recently faced with, and didn't you indicate there Anyone have a dimension of under $10 million a year in 1955?
I don't recall what it was in 1955, Mr. Chairman. I recall clearly what it was the year I came in 47, the biennium budget for 2 years was $7 million. Territorial budget.
Incidentally, this business about, there's been a lot of misunderstanding about deficit spending in Alaska. Many people are going on the radio and television and making noises about deficit spending, but what they mean is that there's been, that if you, that we're spending the $900 million. That's what they're talking about when they say we've been deficit spending all through these years. And what they mean is that we cut into what was, is, can be regarded as a big chunk of capital, that we cut into that and spend it. The reserves tax is in fact a tax. It isn't a borrowing mechanism. There is a credit down the road, but I think that was in recognition that it was just simply a bad taxing mechanism. It was the only thing we could do at the time. As I say, you know, I just walked into that and they said, get us $400 million or we'll go bankrupt now. You know, we could, it's an interesting position to be in. But I do think the tax is bad from a policy standpoint in terms of affecting investments and this sort of thing up here. So we lighten the blow as much as we possibly could.
Is there a reserve tax based on Section 10? Is that
I don't. Well, I'm sure it was, but
No. You have credits in all sorts of taxes, just like investment credits and income tax can be carried forward 7 years of credit against your income. It's no different than that.
I think the question was it based on the Section 10 of the Constitution?
There's a difference between borrowing and having a credit on a tax. An investment credit, in fact, under income tax laws, can be carried around for many years.
State constitutions are more or less you don't have to derive a specific authority. The legislature is pretty much free to act until prohibited, I think would be part of the answer to that.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Section 5. I missed that.
Any other comments or questions from the delegates, from the other panelists, from the audience? Certainly it's been a great privilege for me to have been able to moderate this today, and I'm very, very grateful to the delegates to have had the opportunity and the other panelists. I think we've had a good discussion. I have to give a report on it tomorrow from between 5 and 8 minutes, and I hope to do my best, and I hope you'll recognize what happened today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.